Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective, and welcome to episode 19 of Cephalon Squared. My name is Cephalon Greg, and I'm joined tonight, as always, by Cephalon Lucas, except for that one day. How are you doing, Lucas?
I'm doing good. It's been a good day. It's been a bit warm. Spent the day with some friends, and it's been good. And then got a fair bit to talk about tonight, so it's going to be a good show.
We do. There's some stuff, which is good. But a reminder to everyone on the other side of the world, we're about to head into summer. We're 5 days away from summer, so
summer.
I can't believe it. It's freaking almost summer for us down here. It is going to be glorious. Beach time. While the rest of the world has snows. Yeah, I've got my fan on right now. I'm sweating a bit. It hasn't been that hot in Melbourne, to be honest, but it's going to get it. Most years we have 40 degrees on Christmas Day.
Ew. Yeah. No thanks. I'm good.
most I reckon it's 50-50. And for American friends, that's 104 degrees Fahrenheit on Christmas Day. Anyway, moving on.
No white Christmas for some reason.
For some reason for us, we tend to get into weathercast at the start of every episode these days, I've noticed, because we complain about the heat. Damn you! Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Got to shake fist at something. All right, so let's get started with the Warframe news that has happened this week. I'm just fiddling with stuff on my computer, because why not? Someone's got to. Yes, so, of course, the Nintendo Switch version released this week, which is really the biggest news of the entire week. And it was pretty cool. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but you managed to have a look at stuff, didn't you, Lucas?
I did manage to have a look at stuff. I did.
This is important, right? Because we need to talk about it in detail. Yes.
Lots of detail. All the detail.
All the detail? I only brought some of the detail. I think I dropped some out of my pocket.
Damn it, Greg.
Can't take me anywhere. The other thing was this week, of course, as a result of the Switch release, DE did release, I said release so many times just then, a new Twitter account for the Warframe Alert. So if you didn't know, there's a whole bunch of Warframe Alerts Twitter accounts on Twitter that basically will tell you whenever a new alert starts, which is pretty cool, pretty useful if you pay attention to Twitter. Of course, you can turn notifications on for those ones, and they'll send you notifications to let you know what's up. It's probably the easiest and best way to get notification on alerts if you're looking out for Nightane and things like that. I will, on the show notes, I will share a link that has all of the different Twitter accounts for all of the different platforms, but a new one was set up for Switch. Do you use those at all, Lucas?
No, I actually didn't realize there were any on Twitch. I knew that there were some on Twitter. Yeah, I knew that there were some on Facebook. But did you get a chance to find out if Facebook got a Switch alert?
Wasn't mentioned, but I didn't know there was any on Facebook. To be honest, I know there's the app, and I used to use the app, but I've got too many accounts now, and everything just gets confused. So, I think I'll check out, I probably won't even check out the Twitter accounts, to be honest, but yeah, I don't know. Someone let us know if there's an update to the Facebook stuff. The option is there. The other big news that happened this week, I guess, out of everything, was that Tenno-gen Round 14 was finally released for PC. I say finally released, but it probably happened a little sooner than most of us were expecting, which is great because there's a lot of really good stuff. You did have a look at everything, didn't you, Lucas?
I did. There's a lot of fantastic stuff. I probably won't be spending too much money and when it eventually hits console, because there are maybe two or three things that I'm really, really keen on. Anything else I pick up after is just kind of because it looks pretty.
Fair enough. I was going through everything today, so I was looking at the forum post, which has a link to everything, and I sort of went down a bit of a rabbit hole while I was taking notes for this, and there's some really good stuff. Gara Zamayaru was something I called out on episode 2 or 3 when we first started this podcast, and it's finally out, and that is gorgeous. There's a new Equinox skin that I don't think was shown off when they showed it off last time. They showed off the other Equinox skin, but this one's called the Mega Era or something. I don't know how to pronounce it. Mega Era. Equinox skin. Mega Era. I don't know. But it's very sort of horror themed. And I love horror. I'm a big time sort of gore horror guy. That's why I love Garuda so much. And it looks great. Limbo Grax, Zephyr Grax. They're Grax skins. They're both bound to look awesome. I have to say, though, I saw someone do a fashion frame of Limbo Grax earlier today, and I think it's one of the best skins in the game.
Ooh.
The color scheme that he had on that was just amazing, and he really looked like, you know, like a British commandeer or something, like a naval...
naval officer. Like that. Yeah,
he just looked fantastic. Awesome. The Styx Sayandana, which is the lantern one, the Optical Mithra skin, the Carver Greatsword, which is just a massive greatsword, looks amazing. I love all those massive ones. And the Tonfa Hades skin, so a Tonfa skin looks really good. What did you like, Lucas?
I'm definitely a big fan of the Grax, especially the Limbo, but it's a bit of a disease. I've got to go for the Zephyr Grax. It's an illness that can't be treated. It looks glorious, and I really cannot wait to see how the Zephyr Grax actually molds with the prime features of Zephyr. So I'm really looking forward to playing around with that. This Styx Lantern Sayandana, I also big fan of that. Don't know who I'm going to put it on yet, but I got to have it. It's a must.
It looks really cool. I've noticed you've played a bit of Bloodborne recently.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, it's not where I got it from. I tried Bloodborne and just couldn't get into it, but it's got that sort of feel to it. It looks really good. I think it'll suit Necros, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think of Bloodborne? Let's go off on a limb. On a tangent.
Okay. Well, I've actually re-picked up Bloodborne recently, so I've just been kind of smashing that out the last couple of nights. I like the weapon style. The transforming weapons, I think, are a big thing for me.
The style's great. I just didn't know where to go or what to do. Like, I can't be bothered with games that don't give you a little helping hand.
Me. Don't point you in the direction. Yeah, that's understandable. It is a bit of a maze to begin with. It's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and it's got the right look. It looks great. Anyway, the aesthetic is a tangent. There you go. Let us know if you like tangents. the next thing, of course, is it's that time of year where all of the Game of the Year awards come out. Sadly, Warframe is not nominated on the Game of the Year. What's it called? The thing that Jeff Keighley holds every year.
Forgot.
The Game Awards.
Game Awards, yeah.
It's not nominated for the Game Awards this year, which is really sad. It totally should be for Best Ongoing Game, but I don't know why it fell off this year. But anyway, it is, as always, available to be nominated on the Steam Awards, so get out there and do it. But there's only a couple of days to do it, so it finishes on October 27th, 28th in our side of the world. I'll put a link November. In the show notes. You're November. Right, it is November, yeah. Not October, because October finished a month ago. My apologies. so get out there and do it. You've only got 2 days left. By the time you listen to this, it may already be too late, but I will put the details in the show notes. Oh, sorry. Did you manage to get out there and vote?
Not yet, but I will be doing that after recording.
Give it a shot. All right, so that's...
Warframe deserves it, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I vote for them every year in as many different categories as makes sense, personally, but that's just me. All right, so this week I've decided to do something. So, you know, as podcasters and you know, for us, it's a little bit of a business interest as well. We like to keep an eye on the numbers and see how things are going. It's fun for us. We noticed that earlier in our podcasting career, we used to get a lot of emails from people. And these days we tend not to. And I was wondering why. And I realized that it's probably got to do with the fact when we first started podcasting, we used to do... how to contact us at both the start of the show and the end of the show. And looking at the stats, not a lot of people tend to listen all the way through to the very end of the show. And I think there's people who are probably missing out on how to contact us. So I decided to, this is just a little behind the scenes. I decided to throw it in early today, just to remind people how to contact us and to let people know that we absolutely love hearing from people and reach out to us. Please let us know what you do and don't like about the show, because we want it to be something you enjoy listening to every week. So reach out to us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Cephalon Squared. We have a Facebook group, Cephalon Collective. Both of them have been growing enormously since the release of Fortuna and Warframe on Switch. So thank you and hello to all the new people out there. Reach out to us on Twitter, Cephalon Squared on Twitter. We have a Discord group, which is always fantastic, and we love all of the guys there because everyone there is super, super active. I should say guys and gals. And you can find the details to get an invite to our Discord group, whatever it's called, server, from Facebook and Twitter. Or you can just reach out to us and let us know. But our web, our email address is just cephalonsquared, all one word, at gmail.com. Very easy. Reach out to us, send us an email, tell us what you like or don't like. Let us know if you want to be a community guest star on the show. Yeah, we love hearing from people. It is what drives us. It's one of the things that drives us. Getting some feedback, telling us you enjoy the show. We also have a website. Check out cephalonsquared.com. We are trying to update it with as much information as we can. It's not just a news site. It is tips and guides and everything else. So please do check it out. And please let us know what you want to see on a website like that. I'm just going and building it based on what I think people want to see. But I'm only one man. And sometimes, you know, I'm probably pretty biased as to what I think I like. There's a lot of people out there that probably like different things and want to see different things. So please let us know. The more feedback we get, the better the show can be. Do you have anything to say on that note?
No. Just same kind of thing. Just let us know what you want to see. Well, you know, looking at the stats over the last week, a few of the 101 articles have been lighting up. So, yes. You know, let us know what frames you want us to look at. So give us an idea of what you guys want to actually see.
Yeah, we'll do what you want first and foremost, and then we'll work on the other stuff we've got planned in the background as well. So I've got a beginner's guide, so there's, you know, probably a lot of people who have started listening that are new to Warframe. I did get a message from someone earlier in the week on Facebook saying that they were new to Warframe, found the podcast, and, you know, have been enjoying the beginner's tips. So I actually have a whole beginner's guide on the website, cephalonsquared.com, which goes into detail, great detail, maybe too much detail, for beginners. I've got a mid-game guide coming up, which goes into just as much, if not more, detail for the mid-game. So there's a lot of stuff on there to help both new and older players alike. So let us help us build the best website we can, on top of, hopefully, the best podcast we can. So on that last note, though, last week we called out, or we mentioned that we started up a donation page under Ko-fi. I don't know how to say it. It's probably coffee. And we were hoping that people might send us some donations so that we could buy Lucas a new microphone, the same one as I've got, which is a Blue Yeti. And several people did donate to us. So thank you so much to everyone who donated during the week. You know who you are. In fact, we got more donations than we were expecting, and we're really, really close to being able to buy that microphone for Lucas. So if you can spare $3, Yeah, so close. If you can spare $3 to throw something our way to make this podcast even better and even clearer and, you know, less of an annoyance to listen to, please do it. And, you know, I'm hoping that we'll have enough for next week's episode, but we may or may not. We'll see. It's touch and go at the moment, but we're so close. Yeah. So please, if you want to support us, please do. We would really appreciate it.
Massive, massive thank you to those people that have been able to help us out so far. Like, we appreciate it so much, and we can't explain how much we appreciate it.
Exactly. And you know, obviously we're doing something right, but please, again, tell us when we're not, because we want to make it right. We want to make the best show we can. Anyway, off to more interesting things, perhaps. Today's discussion is going to be, of course, about the Nintendo Switch. So the Nintendo Switch, it released earlier this week. It hit us here in Australia on Wednesday. There was a lot of pain in the ass about what time it was going to actually hit and when it was going to download. And I think over in the UK and the Australian store released it a little bit too early. But it's out now. It's downloadable. I downloaded it. I've been playing quite a lot of it, to be honest. So I've got my impressions, and my impressions went up on the website yesterday. So if you want to see my written impressions, you can see them there, but we're going to talk about it now. Lucas has had a chance to watch a whole bunch of Twitch streams as well. So I'm going to let Lucas let us know what his thoughts are first. If you're happy with that, Lucas?
Okay. All right. Well, looking at it, it's a lot smoother than I thought that it was going to be. So that's already massive pluses right there. You know, looking at how a few people have gone, there has been a bit of a frame rate dropping during the handheld unported session. Undocked terminology. God damn it. Yeah, during the undocked gameplay, a few people have noted a bit of a frame drop rate in multiplayer environments. So groups of three or four, slight drop in frame rate. But you know, that's expected because there is less voltage on watts when you're doing the undocked version. So resolution kind of drops a little bit. So you've got to kind of expect a little bit of a drop in performance. But then looking at how it plays on the docked form, excellent. It's far more clear than I expect them to do. Looking back at when they first announced it at TennoCon, it didn't look that impressive. It looked like, hey, look, we have a less resolute form of Warframe, and it didn't look clean. It looked quite messy and janky, but the end result is fantastic. I actually really wish I had a Switch myself now.
Yeah, I mean, the difficult part of watching streams, which you've been doing, is the only way to stream Switch is to have it docked. So the only footage you've been able to see is docked footage.
There's been a few YouTube videos where they've actually filmed over the shoulder. Yeah. So I have had a chance to see those undocked ones.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, that does help, and it does especially help to see some of the frame drops, because, yeah, there are definitely some frame drops. The game is pretty steadily 30 frames per second throughout, which in my opinion is totally acceptable. 30 frames per second is, you know, fairly standard for a lot of games, unless you're a PC Master Race person, in which case you want to have all the frames at every single frame and don't drop a single frame. Which is fair enough. It does look better when you've got more frames. It's a hell of a lot smoother. But for a lot of us console gamers, 30 frames per second is fairly standard. And we're mostly happy with that for the most part. But you do notice it when you're playing undocked on Switch. When it drops, it is quite noticeable.
Yeah. I think it's 1080p on docked, and I think it was like 720 on undocked.
It's probably 720p when docked, to be honest, and maybe 5 something undocked. But the thing about, and even if it's 720 when it's undocked, either way, it's the screen's so small that it doesn't matter. The resolution on that screen is actually fantastic for Warframe. When playing it on the in handheld mode, it looks fantastic. In fact, in some ways, it looks better than it does when I have it docked, because it's harder to notice when Panic Button and DE has sort of deployed different techniques to save power, because, you know, the Switch isn't as powerful as the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. So in order to be able to run the game as closely to those platforms as possible, they have to drop resolution, they have to focus on the foreground and drop resolution in the background, they have to reduce the scaling distance and all that kind of thing. And some of that's really not that noticeable when you're playing on the handheld mode, because it's so much smaller. The forced resolution sort of makes it look clearer and sharper. You notice it a lot more when it's on the big screen. The difference is, on the big screen, you do tend to have more frames, so it's a lot smoother. So what I've found as I've moved between, because I've played a lot now, I've probably 10 hours, whether or not you think 10 hours is a lot, but that's about how much I've played. And it's probably been 50-50 between docked and undocked. And I've got to say, the more I play, the more impressed I am. Yes, when you're undocked, it drops frames, but this is a tiny little machine that you're holding in your hands. It's super impressive, if you ask me, that they've managed to pull this off. Yeah, you notice some drops, and you notice some screen tearing at times. You notice a bit of sort of clunkiness and some jagginess here and there. But my God, it's not that frequent. For a game like Warframe that seems like it would be really taxing on the processor, I haven't had terribly many issues. I've done a lot of farming. It took me freaking 15 goes to get Rhino from Fossa on Venus. I finally got him. So I did a lot of farming there. I've got myself all the way through to the Europa Junction. I just finished playing Stolen Dreams this morning. So I've played quite a lot, and I'm really enjoying it. But, there's always a but, I am playing it because I have this podcast. I'm also playing Warframe on my Switch because in my day job, I tend to travel. Not a lot, but at least once or twice a month, I will travel interstate for work. So for me, the ability to be able to play Warframe from a hotel room just by using a Switch is invaluable. It's something that really makes sense to me, and it's really easy, and it's something that I very, very much value. I will be traveling interstate in just a couple of days, so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm not necessarily the target audience. I'm the lucky target audience, I think. I think there's a lot of people out there who are existing Warframe players who thought that Switch was going to be the place to go and are maybe not so convinced that it is now that it's out. And I think it's not the right thing to think. I think realistically, Warframe on Switch was made for new players, not for existing players. What are your thoughts, Lucas?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, to a degree, you are a part of the target audience, because you do travel. And we got to admit, Warframe is an addiction, and if you go 1 or 2 days without playing, then it's going to drive you nuts.
yes.
there's no denying that factor. So, yeah, having this now, I mean, if you had a gaming laptop, I guess you could do PC on the move. But this just makes it more compact and easier to carry around with you.
Don't get me wrong, so, I can play from my PlayStation from, you know, for everyone out there. Usually I travel to Adelaide in South Australia for work. So I have many times traveled to Adelaide and connected to connected my crappy little Surface Pro to my PlayStation 4 at home here in Melbourne over the internet and turned it on and played Warframe from there. So I can actually do that. I can play Warframe over the internet.
But it's just the latency kind of kills you.
The latency does kill me. Latency is quite painful. Yeah. If I had a gaming laptop, yeah, things would be different. But then I'd have to have a gaming laptop and my work laptop carrying around with me on the plane, all that kind of jazz. So I like the ability to be able to take the Switch. So, you know, yes, I am part of the target audience, but... And I did have a PC account that I could port over to the Switch. So from, you know, to sort of change approaches again, slightly, I was one of the people that was really happy that I could port my PC account over to the Switch, because it meant that I didn't have to start the whole damn game over again. But I have seen a lot of people complaining that when they ported their Warframe accounts from the PC to the Switch, they lost all their Rivens, they lost their Arcanes, they didn't have access to their Platinum. There are a lot of people that are actually pissed off about that because they thought they could port their entire PC account over to the Switch and just keep going as if nothing happened. I think that's, in my opinion, it's a kind of overly entitled approach to things, because the reality is this isn't a cross-play game. You're not porting your account over to Switch so that you can play with your PC account. If that was the case, then yeah, there's plenty of reason to be pissed off. But these are separate accounts. And if you're going to port over all of your Rivens, you're going to be in a situation where you can sell Rivens to everyone else in the game and highly manipulate the Platinum market. So, yeah, I can understand that it's a pain in the ass to not have the Rivens, but you didn't have to grind the entire game. You've started on a completely new platform and you were able to skip all of the stuff at the start, and trust me, it's frustrating going through it all again. Have you seen a lot of this outcry on
the internet? No, actually, I didn't realize there was such an outcry on something so in my opinion so
it's probably not that bad, but I've seen it in several Facebook groups and I've seen it on Twitter.
It as you said, it is very, shit, can I think of the word used?
Annoying? Entitled?
Entitled, that's the one. It is a very entitled way of looking at it. For the exact same reasons as you said, it is essentially, you know, moving progress. It's not moving resources. It's not moving premium currency. It's progress.
Mm. That's all it is. And I think, you know, people probably misunderstood that. Yeah, there was one guy really sort of getting pissed off on a Facebook group. And I jumped on there and said, you know, I don't understand what you're so pissed off about. If you want to play on the Switch, you now don't have to play through probably 50 to 100 hours of content of grinding just to get to the same situation that you're at now. The only thing you're missing is your Rivens, and your Rivens still exist on your PC account. You didn't lose anything. In fact, you gained something. Yeah. You gained a new account with, you know, experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
That's a little bit disappointing hearing that people are being so upset about something so meaningless. In my opinion, that's fairly meaningless.
And I think people are too easy to jump on those.
Those things you can get back later on. It's not that big of a deal.
There are some people who have probably played 2,000 or 3,000 hours of Warframe. And those people, and maybe more, you know, and some of those people probably have the best Rivens and therefore they have the best builds and blah, 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 blah. So now they have to make new builds. I see that as an opportunity, personally.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wanted to start out on a completely different platform with everything they already had. What's the point of playing on another platform?
Yeah, no, that's completely correct. I mean, it's giving them a chance to relearn why they love the game so much. You know, instead of going into a new profile with godlike abilities, you're going in with powerful abilities, but they're nowhere near as big as they were or great as they were. So now you've got a whole new reason to play and build yourself up back to that level. Once you reach a certain stage of being powerful in a game, that's when it starts to become very blah.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So I think people have had sort of the wrong approach to the Switch. And again, it comes back around to those people probably aren't the target audience, because those people probably realistically aren't going to play anyway on the Switch. Because, you know, so here's the bottom line. If you're playing on Xbox and you love your Xbox account, or PS4, they're both very similar, they're virtually identical. If you're playing on Xbox or PS4 and you love playing on Xbox or PS4 and you've got your friends there and you've got no one else on Switch, there's absolutely no reason for you to move to Switch. Same for PC. In fact, if you like the fact that you've got high fidelity, you know, the graphics is best on PC, all of that kind of jazz, you can have the best frame rate on PC. If you like all of that stuff, you're going to judge Warframe on Switch really poorly, because it's missing a lot of that, and it has a janky frame rate and all of that kind of jazz. If you don't compare it to any of those other systems, Warframe on Switch is an amazing achievement, and anyone that's never played Warframe should definitely be jumping on it as soon as possible, and their minds will be blown. But if you're already playing on one of the other platforms and you're happy playing on those other platforms, you don't need to play on Switch, and that's okay. You know, so there's a lot of people complaining, I think, making their voices heard about how displeased they are with different things. But it's actually okay. It's not such a big problem. You know, move on. Let other people enjoy it. It may not be as good as your platform, but whatever.
Yeah. So moving on to something a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
I wanted to actually point out how good the gyroscope control system actually looks with the handheld mode. That looks phenomenal.
Okay, I haven't used it yet.
You haven't used it yet? Okay. Nope. I have seen a little bit of gameplay with it where just tilting the screen will actually move your cursor so that you can actually get more accurate aims with your first person scoped shots. So it looks like they've done an amazing job on that. There is an option to toggle that on and off in the gameplay options.
And you have to opt in.
You've got to opt in. So since you haven't actually checked that out, Greg, I recommend checking that out because it looks really good.
I have heard a few people saying it, but
it's one of those things I kind of wish we had available for the PS4 controllers.
Yeah, considering there's motion built into the PS4 controllers. I don't know. Yeah. I'll give it a shot. I'll definitely give it a shot before my official review. But I just hate motion control. I'm not a big fan.
No, that's fair. It's not something for everybody. But a lot of the things I've seen on it so far are highly positive. It's at least worth looking at.
I can say that it is difficult when you're using it in handheld mode with the Joy-Cons attached to the screen. I have massive hands, and those little tiny little sticks are just they're hard to control. So maybe that'll really help for that handheld mode.
Quite possibly.
And not so much for the pro controller mode. So I'll give it a shot. Can't hurt.
Can't hurt. Good job.
Yeah, but my overall impressions of the Nintendo Switch version of Warframe is that it's amazing. It all sort of rounds out to that. It is mind-blowingly good what they've achieved. It's not as good as the other systems, but for a standalone Switch version, you know, handheld version, carry around wherever you want to go, and as long as you've got internet connection. Super impressive. Super impressive. Do you have a summary?
I'm impressed. It's amazing. They've done a great job. Well done.
That's about all you can panic say, button. Yeah, panic button kicked ass. Good on them. Good job, guys. All right, so moving on from that particular discussion, but if you've got a Switch, there's no reason not to try it. Go out and give it a shot. Into our beginner topic. So, like I mentioned earlier, there were a few people that, hiccups again, reached out earlier in the week and said they were new players and they were listening to the podcast. So last week, of course, I did the things I wish I knew as a new player discussion. And I wanted to continue on that note, but I also wanted to review something that I looked at earlier in the podcast. So, you know, but way back in like episode 1, 2, or 3, one of those early ones. Basically, because there are new people playing, perhaps people haven't listened to those older episodes and might be wondering what the hell you do in Warframe after you've finished Vor's Prize. So I think before I go back into the things I wish I knew stuff, I thought I'd just have a quick discussion around, you know, what you should do, because you finish Vor's Prize and the game basically stops holding your hand from there and tells you, here you go, do whatever the hell you want. There's a whole bunch of worlds and you can play them now. Bye, high five, and then runs away on you. So as a new player, It's really, really simple. It doesn't look simple, and it's not that simple in practice. But what you want to do is work your way through the planets to open other planets, to unlock other planets. So you start on Earth, and the next planet you go to from there is Venus. So you look at Earth, you look at the map of Earth, and you see down the bottom there's the Venus junction. You see up the top there's the Mars junction. So at those junctions, you'll see a list of things that you need to tick off in order to be able to unlock the junctions. Hover over those, see what the things are in the list, and tick those things off. That's my biggest tip. And that is what you should be doing for every single planet that you come across. You need to be trying to level at the same time, because, you know, as you go from planet to planet, it gets more difficult. So you want to work your way through the planets, but you also want to play a few of the missions on the planets as well that aren't going to lead you straight through. So, for example, I've been smashing through Switch, going just from planet to planet to planet. I've just gotten to Jupiter. I'm about to unlock Saturn, and I am way under leveled for Saturn. Knowing how the game works, by the time you hit Saturn, that's when things start to get difficult. And I've only just finished maxing out my first Warframe, and I've just hit Saturn. So I've probably skipped things a little bit too fast, and I'm going to have to go back and do things. So my advice is, smash through the planets as fast as you can. Open up more planets. But just enjoy yourself. Play those. Play some of those missions. Find out which missions you like. If you like survival missions, play all the survival missions on Earth and Venus and Mars. If you like spies, do all the spy missions. Learn how the spies go. You can become a spy genius. So that's my basic tip for brand new players. Unlock planets is the bottom line. All right, going into things I wish I knew when I was a new player. This is mostly coming from the guys in Discord. So Kev, Your Master, Cheese, Mothop, and Lord Freezon. You guys all gave me a whole bunch of tips last week, and I didn't get through them all, so I'm going to finish them off today. So thank you very much for all of your suggestions. And one of them, I think this was Kev that suggested this, I didn't even know. So I'm saying this is things I wish I knew when I was new. This is something I wish I knew last week. There's actually an unstuck command to get you unstuck. So sometimes as you're jumping from place to place in Warframe, you might accidentally fall between some girders or something and get completely friggin' stuck and you can't get out, no matter how hard you try. All you have to do is bring up your talk or your chat command, your chat box, and type /unstuck, and it will make you unstuck. And that works on every single platform including Nintendo Switch. I tested it yesterday. Did you know that existed, Lucas?
I actually had no clue that existed, so that's good to know.
Yeah, I tried it yesterday on Switch because I didn't even know that it worked on PS4, which it does. /unstuck. I just typed it into the... what do you call it when you're in a group with other people?
It's not a fire team, that's Destiny. The chat party group.
Yeah, the group you're in, chat. I just typed it into that. Group chat. And it unstucked me. It said, "You are now unstuck, haha." And it works on everything. It even works on the Switch.
With a little laugh at the end?
There was no little laugh at the end. I just added that for comedic effect. You're welcome.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to DA about it. I'm sure they'll add it soon. So thanks to Kev for that. That's the only one I didn't know. And it is brilliant because I've been stuck so many times. In fact, there have been a couple of times that I've been stuck where I've had to restart the level. So I wish I knew that. Damn it. Anyway, when you're on the plains of Eidolon, and very soon when you're in Fortuna as well, not only can you press the map button to bring up the map, but if you hold down the map button, depending on what system you're playing on, it works the same way on all of them. So you can either press it to see a quick version of the map, or you can hold it down to see the full map on your screen. And that will really help, because when you've brought up the full map, you can actually mark different locations on the full map that you want to go to, and that will be visible when you're playing in the game. Really, really useful. It also brings up a little timeline in terms of if you're on the plains, it'll bring up day and night cycle as well to let you know where you are in terms of the day or night cycle. So press and hold the map button to bring that up. You knew about that one? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I knew about that one.
Yeah. Now this one, we all definitely know about it. When you're looking at things, if you want to show other people that you found something, there's a button you can press on each platform that lets other people know where things are. So you can basically mark and identify objects. So you can press your little button to mark a place on the map or a direction or wherever you like. But if you actually hover over an item and click the button, it will highlight the item specifically. So for example, you see, you go into the void, everyone's looking for Argon crystals. If an Argon crystal drops, you can point your pointer at the Argon crystal. On PS4, you press the, I think it's the left direction on the direction pad, and that shows everyone, that marks that item. It comes up as Argon crystal on everyone else's screen. So people will come running. So you can do that for all sorts of things. You can do that for Argon crystals. You can do it for Cephalon fragments. You can do it for Frame Fighter fragments. I don't know. Ayatan stars. Whatever you want. It's really, really helpful. And people love it when you do that because it helps other people find stuff that maybe you didn't. They ran past or jumped past while they were trying to get to the end faster than everyone else. All right, another good tip for beginners. When you're starting out and you don't know how mods work, use the autofill button. It will help you. Until you get your heads around mods and you understand the way they work, if you use autofill, it will put mods on there that are going to be useful. They're not going to be the right ones. They almost never are, but any mod is going to be better than no mods at all. So that's a good tip. I think that came from Mothop. Hat tip. Mothop. Always check the online marketplace, and that is warframe.market. That is the actual address. Warframe.market. Type it into your Chrome or whatever browser, and you will go to the marketplace. You can go there to see the price of any prime item or anything that's sellable within the game, any mod, whatever the case may be, so that you can check your price. Don't get ripped off. People might say to you that, I don't know, why did I try and think of something specific? Hydroid Prime chassis, for example, might be worth 150 platinum for just the chassis, but that's not true. It's not worth that much for just the chassis. In fact, all of Hydroid Prime is worth less than 100 plat, because he's not vaulted, so you'd probably get all of Hydroid for, I don't know, 80 plat, something like that. But you can go to warframe.market and put in your platform, and it will give you the average prices for everything, as well as people who are actively selling and buying those things online at the moment. So that's another tip. For those new users who have their 50 platinum that you start out the game with, you should use that first platinum on slots, Warframe slots and weapon slots. You do have to buy new slots in-game using platinum only, and it does get frustrating down the line once you've got three or four Warframes and you don't want to get rid of any of them and you need to add a new one, and the only way that you can add a new one is either to delete one of the old ones or spend real-world money slash platinum on a Warframe slot. So use your initial platinum on slots. Just type in S-L-O-T on the market. You didn't do that when you started?
No. Unfortunately, I didn't realize there was a maximum amount of slots that you started with. And so I went along straight away and brought myself a armor set because those sweet, sweet cosmetics.
Fair enough. Yeah, I was lucky. I checked out the Reddit page and saw a whole bunch of people saying, spend your plat on slots. So I did. Sad for you. Yes, another important thing. So there's certain, in any mission, whenever you have to go to extraction, whenever half the amount of people go to extraction, a countdown timer will start. So if there's four people in a group and one person goes to extraction, the countdown timer won't start. But once two people out of that group of four goes to the to extraction, then the countdown timer will start. So if you're in a group and the other people don't want to leave, you're kind of screwed when you're playing like a survival mission, because survival you can play indefinitely if you want to. You don't have to go to the extraction. So if you're in a group of three, for example, and you want to leave, you go to extraction, you'll be waiting there forever. So it's really important to keep in mind how many people are in there, how many people want to do the same thing you want to do. If you're doing a survival in public, sometimes it's best at the start of the survival mission just to type into chat, 10 minutes, ? See what people say. Or 20 minutes, ? See what people say. Otherwise, just go in solo or with friends. If you quit a mission, you lose all the rewards. So that's pretty important to know. What else was there? Don't feel bad about asking for help. Put into the region chat, hey, I need help. Can someone take me to this place and help me do this or help me beat this boss? People will help you. We all live together, etc. And the last thing is keep an eye on your go through your start menu. So when you press start or escape on PC, the menu will come up with a whole bunch of different crazy options that maybe you don't know about. Go through each of them. When you click on equipment, for example, it will break down to arsenal, inventory, blah, 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 a whole bunch of different things. It'll blow your mind. It just keeps going into menu, it's an inception of menus. So the start menu is something to get your head around. And actually, probably what I'll do is I'll do a whole beginner's topic on the start menu. And I'll do that maybe next week. I don't know. Hands up in the air. But that is all of the tips that the Discord guys shared. There's probably heaps more stuff that people don't know about when they first start the game, but hopefully that helped a few people get through some stuff. Anything you wanted to add, Lucas, or ready to move on?
Ready to move on. I think as per usual, you've covered everything pretty well.
Sweet. All right. It is time for Lucas's advanced topic. Boop, 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 go.
All right, so this one's actually thanks to another one of our Discord members this week. He approached me at the beginning of the week with a private message saying that this would be a good topic. And honestly, I'd never actually really thought about this topic until it was brought to me. So I'm going to be talking about one-handed actions and abilities today. So it's just this is in reference to the actions or ability animations that can be used simultaneously in conjunction with each other. So for an example, let's look at reloading. So let's say you're reloading a primary weapon and it's got a 2-second reload. I know normally you'd try to build around this to reduce such a reload, but let's just say that for now. So if you do something like a melee attack or cast a 1 or 2-handed ability of your frames during that reload, then chances are you've just interrupted your reload and you've got to reinitiate the action all over again, which is just going to take up more time and is very disadvantageous, therefore making learning these actions and how they meld together very important in becoming a space ninja. So now to point out some of the actions and where they stand, starting off with one-handed actions. It's pretty much most maneuvers like crouch, sprint, jump, double jump, wall dash, wall latch, zip lining. They're all classed as one-handed actions. Catching a glaive that's in mid-flight, that is also a one-handed action. And then there's going into one-handed abilities. Now, there are a lot, so I only grabbed 4 examples. And looking at those examples, we've got Excalibur's Radial Blind, Mag's Pull, Volt's Shock, and Ash's Shuriken. These are all one-handed abilities, meaning you can perform other actions while doing these. Now to go into two-handed actions, we have stuff like reviving allies, performing melee attacks, interacting with objects such as life support, consoles, or opening cabinets. If you've ever really taken note of these things, they're all two-handed things and you can't actually do anything else while this is going on. Same thing applies for abilities. Now, as I said for the first lot, there are a lot of abilities that this falls under, so I only took a few examples. And they are such as Nyx's Chaos, Necros's Desecrate, the initial startup of it, Inaris' Sandstorm, and Haro's Covenant. If I went into any more detail on all of the different abilities and actions that would fall under these categories, we'd be here for a very, very long time. so it is important to learn where these actions lie. So if you get a chance, maybe take frame into the simulacrum in the relay and just play around with the abilities a bit. Learn which abilities take a two-handed action and a one-handed action. It's very important to learn so that you don't waste your time and you can actually play a much smoother game and then become a proper space ninja master. So is there any of these that you can actually think of off the top of your mind, Greg, that you've never really thought about until this point?
To be honest, I never really thought about this entire topic until this point. And now that you've mentioned it, it makes complete sense as to why certain things you can do while doing other things, but other things you can't do. Like, even today I was playing on the Switch and I was bullet jumping while reloading my weapon. And I was thinking, how the hell did that work? But it must be that both of those actions or activities, or at least for that specific weapon and, you know, that at that time, both of them just happened to be one-handed abilities, so I could do them both at the same time. Whereas, you know, you can't do anything else while you're reviving someone, for example. Because I always thought of that. You only seem to be holding out one hand to revive a person. But I guess it's considered by the game to be a two-handed ability, So therefore, you can only do that one thing at the time. Very interesting.
Yeah. So that's a massive thank you to your master for bringing forth that advanced topic. And just, you know, a bit of a reach out to everybody. If you've got an advanced or beginner topic that you want us to talk about, then just approach us with it. Just let us know your thoughts on the matter. And just give us the ideas of what you want to hear.
Definitely. We will give you a shout out too, because I was thinking about it earlier today, actually. Eventually we're going to run out of ideas. It's not that we're going to run out of topics, because there's probably a hell of a lot of topics that we can do, but we're only two guys and we have our own ideas about what an advanced topic or whatever might be. And eventually we're going to run out of what we can think of that's helpful for people. So if you've got an idea, definitely send us a tip. That'll help us out immensely. And, you know, we'll give you a shout out on the show, to let you know that, you know, it wasn't us that thought of it. but that'll really help us, because, you know, we don't want to have to go over stuff again and again and again. Eventually we'll have to, but yeah, we'd rather have fresh topics, especially if they come from the community. Cool. Anything else to add there, Mr. Lucas?
No, that's pretty much me done.
Sweet as. Thank you, good sir. That is a really, really interesting topic. And especially those kind of topics would be really cool to share with us, because, you know, things that maybe people don't think about, something that's a little bit out of the ordinary or a little bit left of center. Really cool stuff. Thanks to your master. Community call out time. We don't have much this week. It's actually been a little bit of a quiet week, probably because of Thanksgiving over in the States. So just want to say happy Thanksgiving to our American friends. We don't celebrate that at all here in Australia. It's not an Australian thing, obviously. I do believe that they celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada as well, but they might have a different day on which they celebrate it. I'm not sure. But yeah, happy Thanksgiving to our American friends, and hopefully you'll all be back chatting away on our Discord soon enough. And if you did want to make one call out that we've already mentioned, Lucas.
Yeah, just a simple call out to your master. I think a bit more of a broader call out is in need now, looking at the beginner topic and all those people that that helped out with the things that I wish I knew.
Yes.
So thank you so much. We really do appreciate all these ideas and all of these helpful tips, because not only does it mean that we can spread the knowledge, but it also gives us occasionally something that we didn't know, like the unstuck command, or something that we never really even thought about was the one-handed and two-handed actions. So thank you so much, guys. Really do appreciate it. Exactly. And really do appreciate your contributions to the community.
Exactly. We are in no way, shape, or form claiming to be all-knowing players of Warframe. We love the game, and we know as much as we possibly can about it, but there's a hell of a lot we don't know as well, so we really love it when you guys share with us. Thank you, indeed. All right, so this one has been a little bit of a quieter week. We did want to have a community guest star on this week, but it just didn't fit into our time frames. Lucas and I have both been incredibly busy, such is life, but hopefully we do have a couple of people on the waiting list, so we will have some community guest stars coming up in future. I'm guessing it's probably going to be quieter as we go into Christmas, but there's a lot of console fans out there wondering where the hell their Fortuna is, and Lucas and I are both one of them, or two of them. So we're keen for that to come out. Looks like it's going to be December now. I was hoping it would be this week, but doubtful at this stage. That's fine. It will be amazing, because it is on PC, and it will continue to be amazing on console. Anyway, before we close out, is there anything else you wanted to throw out there, Lucas?
No.
Sweet as.
Nope. All right. We're good.
So we did most of the how to contact us at the start of the show, but I'll just say the website is really the best place to contact us. It's got all of our contact details there, and it's got a contact us page if you don't want to do any of the other stuff. You just fill out a little form. There's only four things you need to fill out, and it'll send an email through to me. So go to the website, cephalonsquared.com. Give us some feedback, whatever you like. We're all cool. We're all good. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules on Twitter, all over the place. I'm actually Mad Capsules on Switch. So if you are playing Switch, add me, MadCapsules. I can't England. Add me, Mad Capsules, as a friend in-game on Warframe. And, you know, I can invite you to join the Cephalon Squared clan. That is me. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas, and I am Silverlight pretty much everywhere. SilverLght. And as always, massive thank you to everybody. I don't know how many times I've actually said thank you to the community this episode alone, but I will say it one more time. So thank you so much to the entire community. We appreciate everything you guys do.
Exactly. We, you know, if people weren't listening, we may not be doing this at this stage. So thank you to everyone for listening and joining us. You know,
you fuel our commitment.
Yeah, exactly. You do. You really do. And that's the important thing to know. All right. Cool, cool. Thanks again. Thanks to Yarn at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro, as always. And thank you to you, good listener, for listening. We look forward to getting in contact with you again in the middle of the week when we do our mini topic that we haven't chosen but may or may not be Exilus mods this week. I don't know. We haven't talked about it, Lucas. I just sprung that on you. I don't know. Anyway, we will do our mini modding technique topic. Freaking hell. It's bedtime for me here in Australia.
Cephalon data dump.
Cephalon data dump mini episode. We will take a Cephalon data dump in your ears on Thursday. That sounded gross. Thanks as always for listening. We'll speak to you in a couple of days. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week.